RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz. Or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Hello, my listener. Welcome back to English Bulletin over the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. In today's edition, we'll present to you our program summary for today. First, we'll bring you our news, followed by commentary, Today in History, Focus, and News in Brief. We'll continue our next program with Indonesian Wonder and Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. We'll conclude our program for today with Music Corner. That was our program summary for today. Stand by now for the news.
Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news, first the headlines. Indonesian President Joko Widodo, second Indonesian President to visit New G Mosque. Indonesian Vice President Yusuf Kalla asks all sides to reunite the nation's purposes. Indonesian Minister of Women Empowerment and Child Protection, Yohana Yambise, said to discuss women's issues on state visit to Afghanistan. Now the news in detail. Indonesian President Joko Widodo is the second Indonesian president to visit the New G Mosque in Beijing after Indonesian former President Abdurrahman Wahid or Gus Dur. That was stated by Indonesian Ambassador to China Sugeng Raharjo after accompanying the president to visit New G Mosque on Sunday, May 14. Sugeng Raharjo mentioned that in 2000, the late Abdurrahman Wahid visited Beijing's largest and oldest mosque on the sidelines of his state visit as president to China. The ambassador said president's visit to the New G Mosque was conducted on the sidelines of attending the International Silk Road Belt Summit and Road Belt Cooperation Forum. It was not only to strengthen the relationship between Indonesia and China in the economic sector, but also between the two countries' Muslims. Raharjo said, Indonesia as the world's tolerant, friendly, and moderate Muslim-majority country can inspire Muslims in China, whose number reaches approximately 25 million, to help explain that Islam blessing for the entire world. In the meantime, following a closed-door meeting, the president said he was surprised after being informed that the number of Muslims in China reached 25 million, while the number of mosques in Beijing is 70 and across China 23,000. Indonesian Vice President Yusuf Kalla called on all parties to reunite the national goal, namely just and prosperous society. This was said by Vice President Yusuf Kalla at his official residence in Jakarta Monday. The Vice President, who is celebrating his 75th birthday, hoped the Indonesian people to be more advanced and united. On post of Jakarta regional election, citizens seemed to split, supported one of the candidates for governors and blamed others with various issues, especially in social media. He also expected the candidates for governor who win in the Jakarta regional elections, Anies Baswedan and Sandiaga Uno, should be congratulated and the losers should also be appreciated and respected. So it does not create loss and win. The whole community must be reunited and forgetting the differences of religion, tribe, and nation. Indonesian Minister of Women Empowerment and Child Protection, Yohana Yambise, has become the first Indonesian female minister to visit Afghanistan to undertake bilateral cooperation in the field of women's empowerment. Not only that, this visit is also the first high-level government visit after the Taliban regime ended. Ambassador of Indonesia to the Islamic Republic of Afghanistan, Arif Rahman, said the arrival of Minister Yohana is a monumental event in the spirit of improving bilateral relations between Indonesia and Afghanistan. Ambassador Arif Rahman said in a press release on Monday, 15 May, the issue of women's empowerment in Afghanistan is a priority issue for the Embassy of Indonesia in Kabul, the Government of Afghanistan, the European Union, and the United Nations. Therefore, the presence of Minister Yohana is very significant for the relation between the two countries. Minister Yohana Yambise's state visit to Afghanistan is a follow-up of the state visit of Afghanistan President Muhammad Ashraf Ghani to Indonesia on April 5-6, 2017, which was the first state visit in the history of Indonesia-Afghanistan bilateral relations since 60 years ago. In Afghanistan, Minister Yohana Yambise will be the keynote speaker on the fourth symposium, Afghan Women, Messenger of Peace. She is then scheduled to meet with First Lady of Afghanistan, Rula Ghani, hold a bilateral meeting with Afghan Women's Minister, Dilbar Mazar, to discuss cooperation between the two countries and meet with Indonesian citizens living in Kabul. Indonesian Communication and Informatics Minister Rudiantara on Sunday, May 14 in Jakarta, held a press conference warning the public who use Windows-based computers over WannaCry ransomware. The ministry has created Indonesian Cyber Security Map that prioritizes three critical sectors, namely banking, transportation, and energy. It will also be developed in other sectors. Engineers around the globe have tried to address the problem, but they have not found its antivirus and still seeking the solution. The ministry said people should ensure that their computer is not connected to the internet before turning it on. Then, backup your data to another computer that does not use Windows operating system. After working online, do not click suspicious emails and spams. The spread has been massive not only in Indonesia but also around the world. It attacks computers or servers, but only those using old version of Windows operating system, 2008 version and its previous ones. It turns out that it not only attacks business sector. However, the ministry believes that it can minimize its risk by disseminating information about the preventive measures to state ministries and agencies starting on Monday, May 15. This news comes to you from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. The Indonesian trade balance surplus is expected to decline. However, the rupiah is saved by the US dollar's correction in Asian markets last weekend. The rupiah closed last weekend's trade at 13,340 rupiah per US dollar. Samuel Sekuritas analyst Rangga Cipta wrote on Monday, May 15, that the rupiah is likely to benefit from the dollar depreciation and commodity prices that are no longer declining. The US dollar index is corrected by inflation and increasing crude prices. Slowing inflation also diminished projections of a Fed fund rate hike in June, as prices are still high. Meanwhile, the US Treasury yield increase is being held back by low inflation. This may keep the Indonesian state bonds from declining, Rangga said, as a US Treasury yield spike can trigger global bond yield decline. Part of Indonesia's 10 new Bali destinations, Morotai Island in North Maluku, is known for its underwater beauty and historical relics from World War II. The island is currently hosting the Morotai Underwater Photo Contest 2017 from May 15 to 19, which aims to preserve coral reefs and other sea creatures as well as promote Morotai's pristine underwater scenes. The competition is open to the public with locations mostly concentrated in the southern part of Morotai. The head of Morotai's tourism agency, Tony Hangewa, said the diving sites were divided into three locations, with each having two diving spots. The competition is divided into three categories based on the camera being used: open DSLR, compact macro, and compact wide angle. He explained, judging criteria include image sharpness, uniqueness of the concept, and natural appeal. Photos that are sent to the committee will be used for publication and promotional materials. The underwater photo competition is part of the wonderful Morotai Islands Festival, which runs for 6 months until October 2017. There are six main events presented in this festival, highlighting ecotourism, as well as cultural and man-made tourism. This year, Morotai Island is targeting to welcome at least 11,000 foreign tourists. The last item, logistics service providers will increase the tariff during the Ramadan and Eid al-Fitri holiday this year. Indonesian Truck Operators Association APTRINDO Deputy Chairman Kiatmaja Lukman said that truck operators had to increase the tariff due to limited radial tire stocks. The increasing tariff was also caused by the local tire price hike. Kiatmaja said that the cost to provide logistics service has increased by at least 7% or about 500,000 rupiah per trip from Jakarta to Surabaya. Kiatmaja revealed that logistics costs usually increases during the peak time due to the increase in volume. However, Kiatmaja went on, this year the increase in tariff was caused by limited tire supplies. Tire is the second most expensive component after fuel. For a single trip from Jakarta to Surabaya, truck drivers spend at least 1 million rupiah for fuel. In addition, local tire is available for 1 million rupiah, while imported tire is 50% cheaper. Tire price started to increase when imported radial truck tire supplies could no longer be found in the market, as the government enforced Trade Minister Regulation No. 77/M/9DAG per 11/2016 on the requirement of tire import this year. This news comes to you from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Indonesian President Joko Widodo, second Indonesian president to visit New G Mosque in Beijing. Indonesian Vice President Yusuf Kala as all sides to reunite the nation's purposes. Indonesian Minister of Women Empowerment and Child Protection Yohana Yambise sat to discuss women's issues on state visit to Afghanistan. That was the news.
Listener commentary today entitling Indonesia and Modern Silk Road. China was the host of the Belt and Road Forum for International Cooperation Summit on May 14, 2017. The summit aims to further discuss efforts to revive the Silk Road, an idea put forward by China's President Xi Jinping in 2013. The summit attended by 29 heads of state, including President Joko Widodo, is aimed at creating several economic corridors that cover over 60 countries around the world, integrating Asia, Europe, Africa, both on land and sea. China's President Xi Jinping in 2013 announced the initiative the Silk Road Economic Belt and the 21st Century Maritime Silk Road, or also known as the Belt and Road Initiative, BRI. If we look at the past, around 114 BC to 1450 AD, the Silk Road became an important trade route connecting the East and the West. This road contributed to the development of civilization, the spread of culture, religion, and laid the foundation for the modern world. Xinhua News Agency wrote, in this ambitious plan, China has invested more than $50 billion in 20 countries along the road. The concept of Northern Silk Road initiated by China's President Xi Jinping will include the construction of new roads, fast train networks, power plants, pipelines, ports, airports, and communication that will increase trade between China and 60 countries in Asia, Europe, Middle East, and North Africa. In the Modern Silk Road concept, China and Europe will be connected through Central Asia, the Middle East, Southeast Asia, and Africa. Indonesia is one of the routes crossed, we think, the international trade routes. What is Indonesian position in this modern Silk Path? Indonesia has strategic role both geopolitically and geographically in the Silk Road. Geopolitically and geostrategically, Indonesia has a very strategic location. Indonesia has over 3.25 million square kilometers of water area and is located between two oceans and two continents. In addition, the potential of Indonesian considerable natural wealth is very beneficial to Indonesia. But despite this enormous potential, Indonesia does not have adequate maritime infrastructure to support its economic growth and establish its identity as a maritime nation. The positive impact that Indonesia can enjoy in this modern Silk Road concept is simplifying the transportation of goods for export to overseas. However, Indonesia should also be prepared for the flowing of China's goods as a result of the easier export and import access of the Chinese and European goods at lower fares. Hopefully, Indonesian involvement in the modern Silk Road project can improve infrastructure development and provide benefits, especially for the economy of Indonesia. Listener, that was commentary read by Rahmana.
Today in history, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Hello listener, wherever you are, welcome back to Today in History. We begin with an event which occurred on May, on which the 1945 Arab-Israeli War, or the first Arab-Israeli War, was fought between the State of Israel and the military coalition of Arab states, forming the second stage of the 1948 Palestine War. There had been tension and conflict between the Arabs and the Jewish, and between each of them and the British forces ever since 1917 Balfour Declaration and the 1920 creation of British Mandate of Palestine. British policies dissatisfied both Arabs and Jews. The Arabs' opposition developed into 1936-1939 Arab Revolt in Palestine, while the Jewish resistance developed into the Jewish insurgency in Palestine, 1944-1947. In 1947, these ongoing tensions erupted into civil war following the 29 November 1947 adoption of United Nations Partition Plan for Palestine, which planned to divide Palestine into three areas: an Arab state, the Jewish state, and special international regime for the cities of Jerusalem and Bethlehem. On 15 May 1948, the ongoing civil war transformed into an interstate conflict between Israel and the Arab states following the Israeli Declaration of Independence the previous day. A combined invasion by Egypt, Jordan, and Syria, together with expeditionary forces from Iraq and Palestine, Jordan, have been declared privately to Yeshua missionaries on 2 May it would abide by a decision not to attack the Jewish state. The invading forces took control of the Arab areas and immediately attacked Israeli forces and several Jewish settlements. The 10 months of fighting, interrupted by several truce periods, took place mostly on the former territory of British Mandate and a short time also in the Sinai Peninsula and Southern Lebanon. As a result of the war, the State of Israel retained the area that UN General Assembly Resolution 181 had recommended for the proposed Jewish state, as well as almost 60% of the area of Arab state proposed by the 1948 Partition Plan, including the Jaffa, Lida, and Ramla area, Galilee, and some part of the Negev, a white street along with the Tel Aviv-Jerusalem road, West Jerusalem, and some territories in the West Bank. Transjordan took control of the remainder of the former British Mandate, which annexed, and the Egyptian military took control of the Gaza Strip. At the Jericho Conference on 1 December 1948, 2,000 Palestinian delegates called for unification of Palestine and Transjordan as a step toward full Arab unity. No state was created for the Palestinian Arabs. The next event was in 1998 when the May 1998 riot of Indonesia ended. The May 1998 riots of Indonesia were incidents of mass violence, demonstration and civil unrest of racial nature that occurred throughout Indonesia, mainly in Medan, Sumatra province, the capital city of Jakarta, and Surakarta in the province of Central Java. The riots were triggered by economic problems, including food shortages and mass unemployment, and eventually led to resignation of President Suharto and the fall of the New Order government. The main targets of the violence were China's ethnic. However, most of the people who died in the riots were the Japanese Indonesian looters who targeted the Chinese shops, not the Chinese themselves, since the looters were burned to death in the massive fire. It was estimated that more than 1,000 people died in the riots. And the last event was in 2010 when Jessica Watson returned to Sydney. Jessica Watson, born 18 May 1993, is an Australian sailor who was awarded the Order of Australia Medal for completing a Southern Hemisphere solo circumnavigation at the age of 16. Departing Sydney on 18 October 2009, Watson headed to northeast, crossing the equator in the Pacific Ocean before crossing the Atlantic and Indian Oceans. She returned to Sydney on May 15, 2010, 3 days before her 17th birthday. The voyage was shorter than the required 20,600 nautical miles to be considered a global circumnavigation. And Watson never claimed the voyage to be an attempt as such, preferring to do less formal term around the world. In recognition of her achievement, Watson was named the 2011 Young Australian of the Year, and the following year was awarded a Medal of the Order of Australia. She currently resides in Bathurst, Queensland. Listener, that was today's history. Thanks for listening.
Today in History, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Focus, daily news and events.
This is RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia with Focus, entitling Indonesia and Chile Boost Trade Cooperation. The government of Indonesia and Chile have agreed to boost cooperation in the field of economy and trade in a bid to strengthen bilateral relations between the two countries. The agreement was reached during a state visit of Chilean President Veronica Michelle Bachelet to meet President Joko Widodo at the State Palace in Jakarta last Friday. President Joko Widodo, during a press conference with President Veronica, said that Chile is the third largest trading partner of Indonesia in South America. President Joko Widodo views that the visit of President Veronica is the right time as Indonesia is currently boosting trade and investment cooperation with non-traditional partners, including countries in South America. Chile is one of the country's priorities. President Joko Widodo remarked that as a forum to make both countries' business people closer, his side welcomed the presence of business delegates in the group of President Veronica and the signing of a Memorandum of Understanding between the two chambers of commerce and industry. President Joko Widodo affirmed that in the future, Indonesia and Chile will focus on bilateral cooperation in the field of fisheries and strategic industries and agriculture. The president expressed that the bilateral relationship between Indonesia and Chile could help boost cooperation between the two countries. On the occasion, the president also expressed his appreciation of Chile's support for Indonesia's candidacy to the UN Security Council 2019-2020. President Joko Widodo added that the signing of the cooperation that has been done will bring closer relations between Indonesia and Chile. Chilean President Veronica Michelle Bachelet said that hopefully her visit to Indonesia will bring closer ties and strengthen relations between the two countries, since Indonesia is also an important partner for Chile in terms of economy and trade. Chile is Indonesia's third largest trading partner in South America. In 2016, trade between Indonesia and Chile reached $227 million, or about 3 trillion rupiah. The potential of bilateral trade between the two countries can be enhanced through the Comprehensive Economic Partnership Agreement Plan, or CEPA, between Indonesia and Chile, which is being negotiated by both parties. Meanwhile, Chairman of the Indonesian Chambers of Commerce and Industry, Rosan Peroslani, said that Indonesia and Chile are among the group of developing and dynamic countries. Both are considered to have a market-oriented economy characterized by a commitment to an open economy for trade and investment. Indonesia has improved in the negative investment list, which makes it more open to foreign investors. This shows a huge and open opportunity for foreign business partners to engage in the Indonesian economy. At the signing of Memorandum of Understanding with Sociedad de Fomento Fabril, or SOFOFA, the Chilean Industry Federation and Business Dialogue, along with President Veronica Michelle Bachelet in Jakarta last Friday, Rosan said, so far, trade of Indonesia and Chile is still relatively low due to geographical distance that give high payloads to logistic cost, differences in payment systems, and lack of information about Chile's demand and potential. Therefore, Indonesia must continue to develop the trade potential that has not been utilized optimally by both countries to boost and balance trade relations. That was Focus. I'm Nuka Kusumawati.
Listener, coming up next, news in brief. Indonesian President Joko Widodo is the second Indonesian president to visit the New Ji Mosque in Beijing after Indonesian former President Abdurrahman Wahid, or Gus Dur. That was stated by Indonesian Ambassador to China Sugeng Raharjo after accompanying the president to visit New Ji Mosque on Sunday, May 14. Raharjo mentioned that in 2000, the late Abdurrahman Wahid visited Beijing's largest and oldest mosque on the sidelines of his visit as president to China. Indonesian Vice President Yusuf Kalla called on all parties to reunite the national goal, namely just and prosperous society. Vice President Yusuf Kalla at his official residence in Jakarta on Monday said, "The Indonesian people to be more advanced and united." On post of Jakarta regional election, citizens seemed to split, supported one of the candidates for governors and blamed others with various issues, especially in social media. Indonesian Minister of Women, Empowerment and Child Protection, Yohana Yambise, has become the first Indonesian female minister to visit Afghanistan to undertake bilateral cooperation in the field of women's empowerment. Indonesian Communication and Informatics Minister Rudiantara on Sunday, May 14, in Jakarta, held a press conference warning the public who use Windows-based computers over WannaCry ransomware. The ministry has created Indonesian cybersecurity map that prioritizes three critical sectors, namely banking, transportation, and energy. The Indonesian trade balance surplus is expected to decline. However, the rupiah is saved by the U.S. dollar's correction in Asian markets last weekend. Part of Indonesia's 10 new Bali destinations, Morotai Island in North Maluku is known for its underwater beauty and historical relics from the World War II. The island is currently hosting the Morotai Underwater Photo Contest 2017 from May 15 to 19, which aims to preserve coral reefs and other sea creatures, as well as promote Morotai's pristine underwater scenes. Logistics service providers will increase the tariff during the Ramadan and Eid al-Fitri holiday this year. Indonesian Truck Operators Association Deputy Chairman Kiat Maja Lukman said that truck operators had to increase the tariff due to limited radial tire stocks. Listener, that was News in Brief.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are, thank you for joining the wonderful Indonesia Quiz 2017. Listener, the Wonderful Indonesia Quiz 2017 ended on April 30th, and now is the time you've been waiting for. The announcement of the winners of Wonderful Indonesia Quiz 2017. Based on the Indonesian Tourism Ministry letter dated on May 5th, 2017, on the winners of Wonderful Indonesia Quiz 2017, here are the winners. Mitsuaki Horike from Japan. Takashi Kawai from Japan. Akio Uemura from Japan. Prithviraj Purkayasta from India. Pradeep Chandra Kundu from India. Adita Pritika Subramanian from India. Titong Yang from China. Gong Lei from China. Chao Yanping from China. And Michael Cunningham from Australia. On behalf of Indonesian Tourism Ministry and Voice of Indonesia, we would like to congratulate all the winners. The winners are invited to visit Indonesia from May 27 until 31st, 2017. Those who have been mentioned as the winners in this announcement must complete their travel documents and prominent figure form and send them along with your photo to our email address, wiquiz2017@gmail.com. wiquiz2017@gmail.com. Once again, congratulations, and we are looking forward to seeing you in Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Today's sound. You're still tuned to the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, broadcasting to the frequencies of 9525 kHz, 11.785 kHz, and 15.150 kHz. You can also listen through our audio streaming at www.voi.co.id. Here is our next program, Indonesian Wonder, and Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Hello listeners, welcome to Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary arts, fine arts, and culture from various regions across Indonesia. In today's edition, we will introduce you to gandul rice from Central Java. Stay tuned. Listeners, pati, a regency in Central Java, is not as well known as Semarang and Pekalongan. The city, which takes around 20 hours by car from the capital city of Central Java province, has special food which should be tested, namely gandul rice. Its unique name, isn't it? Gandul in Javanese language means hanging. This name was known from how to sell it. The vendors work while carrying basket of rice and cauldron. From far, it is seen swaying or gondal gandul in Javanese language. Since the time, it was named gandul rice. Listeners, gandul rice is one of typical foods of Pati, whose main stuff is buffalo meat. Not all gandul rice vendors in Pati serve it with the same way. Certainly, the vendors use banana leaf as the placemat, and its spoon is also from banana leaf, or also called suru. If you cannot use suru, you can use Stanley spoon. Banana leaf has its own characteristic which cannot be forgotten because banana leaf has special aroma. Listeners, to serve gandul rice, firstly put rice on a plate which has been covered by banana leaf. Then it is given empal meat, which is cut out. This is the uniqueness of Gandu rice presentation. The meat is cut by using scissors. The empal meat is one which is cooked with ingredients and then fried. After the meat has been cut, then spread out with soup and given fried onion. Additional side dish of Gandu rice is fried tempeh. Usually to eat Gandu rice, people also drink kawista syrup, which has typical aroma. Listeners, in the past, not many people could enjoy Gandu rice because its price was very expensive. It was expensive because it was served with meat. But now, with the price, 20,000 rupiah, you can enjoy one portion of Gandu rice, including cracker and a glass of kawista syrup. If you add another side dish such as egg, fried tofu, and tempeh, and many others, surely, the price is much expensive in accordance many extra foods which have been eaten. Listeners, that was Indonesian Wonder for today, featuring Gandu rice, a typical food from Pati, Central Java Province. Thank you for listening and sampai jumpa.
Speak Bahasa Indonesia easily and correctly. We present to you Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia.
Hello listener, wherever you are, welcome back to Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, a segment which invite you to learn Bahasa Indonesia. Today we feature a topic entitled Makan Siang, in English, Having Lunch. Stay tuned. As usual, I will introduce you to the vocabulary and expressions that relate to today's topic of conversation. I'll say the sentence twice slowly, and you can repeat after me. Makan siang. Makan siang. In English, lunch. Tadi. Tadi. In English, just now. Makan. Makan. In English, to eat. Mengapa. Mengapa. In English, why? Makanan ringan. Makanan ringan. In English, snacks. Lapar. Lapar. In English, hungry. Ingin. Ingin. In English, to want. Tidak ada. Tidak ada. In English, nothing. Menemani. Menemani. In English, to accompany. Pekerjaan, pekerjaan, in English, job or work. Menyelesaikan, menyelesaikan, in English, to finish. Now we give you an example of conversation entitled Makan Siang, or in English, Having Lunch. The conversation is between A, Ana, and B, Ani, at the office. A. Apakah kamu sudah makan siang? Apakah kamu sudah makan siang? In English, have you had lunch? B. Tadi saya makan sedikit makanan ringan. Tadi, saya hanya makan sedikit makanan ringan. In English, I've just eaten a few snacks. A. Mengapa? Mengapa? In English, why? B. Perut saya lapar, ingin makan. Perut saya lapar, ingin makan. In English, I'm hungry and want to eat. Tapi tidak ada yang menemani saya makan. Tapi tidak ada yang menemani saya makan. In English, there's nobody to accompany me to eat. Maukah kamu menemani saya makan siang? Maukah kamu menemani saya makan siang? In English, would you mind accompanying me to have lunch? A. Pekerjaan saya sudah selesai. Pekerjaan saya sudah selesai. In English, I have finished my work. Saya juga sudah lapar. Saya juga sudah lapar. In English, I'm also hungry. Jadi bisa menemani kamu makan siang. Jadi bisa menemani kamu makan siang. In English, so I should accompany you to have lunch. B. Baiklah, mari kita ke kantin. Baiklah, mari kita ke kantin. In English, alright, let's go to canteen. Well, listener, that was today's Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. Hopefully, it can be useful for those who want to know more about Bahasa Indonesia. We'll see you again tomorrow with another topic. I'm Nuka Kusumawati. Sampai jumpa.
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, listener of Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are, welcome back with me, Hernita, in the Music Corner, a musical segment which introduces you to Indonesian music, either traditional or modern ones. In today's edition, we will present to you an Indonesian female keroncong singer, Nur Agni Savitri, or better known with the name Savitri. Well, listener, let's listen to the first song entitled Sapu Tangan dari Bandung Selatan. Happy listening.
Sampai
Listener Saputangan dari Bandung Selatan is the song composed by Indonesian composer Ismail Marzuki. The song was made in the era of Indonesian struggle and became an original Keroncong song. Telling about a hero who has to part with a beloved one. Although currently the Keroncong genre not too much in demand, especially by the younger generation, Savitri remains proudly dedicated Keroncong songs. According to Savitri, as a child, she often invited his father to watch Keroncong performance. She was firstly not interested to the Keroncong, but thanks to encouragement from parents, Savitri finally learned Keroncong music and loved the music very much. Well, listener, let's listen to the next song entitled Melati di Tapal Batas by Savitri. Happy listening.
Thank you.
Listener, the song Belati di Tapal Batas is one of the national songs of Indonesian struggle composed by Ismail Marzuki. The song tells about the Sri Kandi, or a woman hero who struggled to maintain the Indonesian's independence. A song with a rhythm and poem that is very touching and able to evoke a sense of love for the state. Keroncong songs are packed with modern music arrangement. In 2009, Savitri released an album containing 10 Indo-Western mix songs. This is a form of his dedication to preserve keroncong music in order to be favored by today's younger generation. Well, listener, to conclude our segment for today, let's listen to the last two songs entitled Rindu Lukisan and Setangkai Bunga Anggrek by Savitri. Happy listening. Sampai jumpa.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz and 11785 kHz for English program, or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id.
send your criticism and suggestions to en.voi.co.id or send your letter to Voice of Indonesia, RRI World Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta, or P.O. Box 1157, Jakarta 10011, Indonesia. And join us on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter, VoI Indonesia.